Now we find that our Lord continues his ministry here in chapter 8. It came to pass after that he went throughout every city and village, and that's in Galilee, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Now this reveals that there were many that were turning to Christ in that day, and many who were officials in high places. Now we have here the parable of the sower. And in view of the fact that I looked at that so thoroughly in Matthew, and then I took it up again in Mark, and I have a little book entitled Some Seed, and I would make that available to those who support the program if you'd like to have it. I'm going to pass over that since we have dealt with it quite completely before. We have the parable of the lighted candle, and we have that new relationship that he talked about when his mother and brethren came, and he said to be saved, to be brought in as a son of God, is actually to be closer related to him than his own human mother was. And then we have him stilling the waves. All of that is here in Luke, and we've dealt with that rather thoroughly. But now we come also to the trip that he made over to Gadara, where there was this maniac who was possessed with demons. And since we're dealing with Dr. Luke, and I'd like for Dr. Luke probably to go into this a little more thoroughly than maybe some others have. And will you notice it? Verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had demons long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Apparently there were two of them. Luke only lifts out one, and I think he does it for a very definite purpose. Why? He's a doctor. He's attempting to just give you an illustration here. Now, this matter of demons, there are those that think it belongs to the category of ghosts, goblins, and gnomes, are sylvan satyrs and Stygian shades and fairies and fables, and that they inhabit the never-never land, some Alice in Wonderland way out yonder, and they dwell on some mythical Shangri-La. The average Christian viewpoint is that if demons ever existed, they do not exist today. I believe that we're seeing a manifestation and a resurgence of demon possession in our day. It's very hard to explain what's taking place in our contemporary society without it. Now, we notice here that Dr. Luke treats demonism with remarkable insight from a doctor's viewpoint, and it's rather scientific. Matthew's record was a matter of fact. Mark's was actually emotional and spectacular. But now will you notice what our Lord does here when he arrives? The first miracle that was recorded by Luke way back in the 4th chapter had to do with demon possession. And there we had another reference in the 41st verse of the 4th chapter. And he made it clear that demonism and diseases are different. Demon possession is a reality. It's just as real as cancer or leprosy. And it disturbs men physically, mentally, and spiritually. And it can destroy the soul of man. It can be the eternal doom of man. And we'll find out in the next chapter that demons are synonymous with unclean spirits. This is one of the worst cases, and that's the one we're looking at here. Now, will you notice some of the facts that we need to deal with here? And I'd just like to pull them out. It was the country of Gadara, the tribe of Gad. They didn't cross over with Joshua when they should have. And will you notice what he says here, giving the value of this incident? He says to this man, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And that's the purpose of it, the value of it. Now, will you notice certain things concerning this? This man had been this way a long time. It's probably the worst case. He wore no clothes. He was in the nude. I think nudity and demon possession, there is a relationship. He didn't dwell in a house. He dwelt among the tombs, caves. He was a caveman, by the way. And the personality of this man was degraded and debased and destroyed. He had no will of his own. He was in the possession of the demon.